of heights to the depths of the sea.
Jesus said in verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he will be likened to a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and Hurricane Ian came and washed it all away.
To the fragrance of spring, every creature's unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher, Rob Kellogg. In Jesus' illustration of the two builders, each house looked the same from the outside. The real foundation of our life is usually hidden and is only proven in the storm. And we could say that the storms come from both heaven, that is rain, and earth, that is floods. Jesus warns us that the foundations of our lives will be shaken at some time or another, both now in trials and in the ultimate judgment before God. Now let's join Pastor Rob as he concludes chapter 7 in the Gospel of Matthew.
Give to this prophet if he could heal him. And the prophet doesn't even come outside. He's probably in there by the fire, you know, with his Bible open. And just tell him to go wash in the Jordan 7 times and he'll be healed. Go tell him. And Naaman's outside, what? Do you know who I am? I'm Naaman. I'm the commander. I'm like the big shot. And now you send me a messenger? You send me a tweet? You send me a text? Go wash in the Jordan 7 times. But Naaman becomes furious. He went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place that had leprosy and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, aren't they better than all the waters of Israel? And they were. In the natural, I mean, those two rivers were up there right at the base of Mount Hermon, clear as crystal, cold as ice, flowing down from the mountain, and then the Jordan River, about 100 miles south of that, is kind of muddied and not so clean. And you're telling me to go in the Jordan and wash and I'll be clean? And notice, so he turned away and he left in a rage, and his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then? So he says, go down there and wash and be clean. And so he did. He went 7 times, dipped himself in the muddy water of the Jordan, and he became clean. And his body was like, his flesh was like that of a child again. But what was it? He obeyed. He didn't just hear. He heard it, and he didn't like it. So he was about ready to leave, and thank God his servant says, hey, if he had asked you to climb a tree and spout the Hebrew alphabet in reverse, wouldn't you have done it? Okay, I'll do it. So even in a half-hearted way, he goes down to the Jordan. He dips 7 times, and behold, after he's obedient to the Lord, after he listens, his heart wasn't even completely in it. Can you see how wonderful God is? He responds to obedience even when our faith is struggling. But he did it, and he was healed. Do you see? And that's why Jesus said, you know, people can tell me, Lord, Lord. He's like, no, unless they do. It's important that you do. And yet it's not those works that save us. We know that. In Ephesians 2, it tells us, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship. Notice, we are created in Christ Jesus for what? For bad works? No, for good works. See, it's totally backwards from the way the world thinks. The world thinks, do good works, you get to heaven. God says, no, I've already done everything for you. Believe in me. And then as a result of my Spirit dwelling in you, you're going to do the good works. But you're not justified by your works. You're justified by faith. Right? James says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. And he says, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Wow. A true, genuine faith will produce good works of obedience to God. So verse 22, back in our text, so Jesus says, many of you will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many works in your names? And he will declare, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You see, God does care about the true, genuine relationship that we have with him more than anything that we might do for him. In fact, as far as I can tell, there are only three judgments of unbelievers that are still yet future. The first one is the obvious one, when Christ comes back to the earth at his second coming, and that's where the armies of Armageddon are going to be formed. And this is recorded for us in Revelation 19 and also in Zechariah 14, brings this out very clearly. And then there's a second judgment, and this is at the beginning of the millennial reign, not too long after that Jesus' second coming, where there'll be a judgment of the sheep and the goats, and it's recorded for us in Matthew 25. And finally, we know that unbelievers will be judged at the great white throne judgment in Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15. But I believe that what Jesus is speaking here is this second option here, where at the beginning of the millennial reign, there's going to be a judgment of the sheep and the goats. In other words, a judgment of the nations, of those who were supporting Israel and those who did not, those who believed in him and those who did not. And they'll be judging then. But notice, and you can read Matthew 25, specifically verses 31 through 46, and you will see that passage that speaks of that, I believe. But Jesus goes on in verse 24, and he says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And notice again, this sounds like verse 21 in the same chapter. What was verse 21? He says, but he who does the will of God, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Notice the responsibility that comes to us with hearing the word of God. There is a responsibility. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we call this the Shema, and I'll share with you why in a minute. But in verse 1, it says, now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel. The word hear in the Hebrew is Shema. And it means hear with the intent of doing something about it. It's not content with just hearing only. No, you're supposed to hear, and that's the word he uses here. Listen with the intent of obeying it. And he goes on, he says, therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. And then in verse 4, hear, O Israel. There's our word Shema again. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Here, with the intention of doing something about it. Romans 10, verse 17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And although we are saved by grace through faith and justified by faith in Jesus Christ, our faith ought to be worked out in practical means. And by doing so, we prove that it's genuine. And God proves that it's genuine. Genuine faith moves to action, or at least ought to. But Jesus Christ, he is the chief cornerstone. He's speaking of these foundations that anyone who builds upon this rock, I will liken him to a man who has built his hand on stone, on bedrock. And see, Jesus is the chief cornerstone. In Matthew 21, Jesus, speaking to the chief priests and the elders of the people concerning their rejection of him, he says, "Have you not read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? And this was the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say unto you, the kingdom of heaven will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind them to powder." Jesus is the cornerstone. And you know this, for any of you who are masons or you build a house, they lay a footer at the very beginning of the foundation, and they lay that masonry brick, and they make sure that it's plumbed, that the ground is plumbed, that it's everything is just right, and that first brick is critical. That's the cornerstone. It's going to be the corner of the whole thing, and if that thing is off by just a little bit, the whole thing will be off. And so they scrutinize. They get out the plumb bob. They get out the everything. They measure it and make sure, and they set that thing in the dirt, and then they begin to build off of that cornerstone. And see, Jesus is that cornerstone. He's that cornerstone. He's the cornerstone of our faith. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter tells us this. He says that Jesus Christ is a living stone, yes, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God. And notice, precious. You also, he speaks to us as living stones. You're a living stone. Did you know that? So when somebody calls me a hardhead, now I can say, well, I qualify because I'm a living stone. You are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it's also contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion," and here he's quoting, "I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense." Jesus is our cornerstone. The Apostle Paul also speaks of us being the foundation that he laid. This is in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9 through 15. He talks about the foundation. There's no other foundation that can be laid than that which is laid already, and that is Jesus Christ. And then he says, I want to build on that foundation. That foundation is sure and it's precious. And I think it's really wonderful that as we look at the end of the age, that even in the new Jerusalem, in the new heavens and the new earth, the new Jerusalem that God is going to make, what does he make out of the very foundation? The very foundation of the new Jerusalem is going to be 12 foundations, and each of them are going to be labeled after one of the names of the apostles. These living stones, sure, because they were founded upon the rock of Christ himself. So these foundations, you can read that in Revelation 21, verses 9 through 21. We don't have time to go there. But the foundation. And you and I, because we belong to him, will be represented by those 12 apostles. And even the 12 tribes of Israel, they'll be named after the 12 gates in that new Jerusalem. So you have Israel and even the church made up of Jew and Gentile, all represented there in the foundation and the gates of this new Jerusalem. So Jesus, in verse 25, back in our text, he says, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. It was founded on the rock. Where is your life? Where is it? What is it founded upon? Is it founded upon the truth of Jesus Christ, or is it founded upon something you learned from a professor at a university saying, no, that's just a bunch of folklore. That's just a bunch of stuff that's been handed down over the centuries. No, these were written by eyewitness accounts. The Gospels are eyewitness accounts, and the Bible was written by men as they received it from God. And it has been proven itself to be accurate, 100%. Are you going to build your life upon the rock of Christ? Or are you going to build it upon philosophy of the day? Are you going to build it upon the things of today? Are you going to build it upon politics? Hey, listen, this whole world is going to burn. And everything in it's going to go away. But there's one thing that stands and lasts forever, and that is the Word of God. It says that in the Bible. The Word of God endures forever. Everything else, Peter tells us, and Jesus told us, it's going to be dissolved with fervent heat. Only that which abides in Christ is going to last. And you and I will be changed, and we will live in that new Jerusalem at the end for eternity, and it'll never end. And see, that is the truth. I don't care what anyone else says, because I'm building my life on this. I'm not going to build my life on what some professor has told me. Believe me, I've been to grad school. I've been to, you know, college in my four-year degree and went to Eastman later on. You know what? They've told me nothing about this. In fact, they tried to discourage me from this. But this is the one thing that's going to get me to heaven, Jesus Christ. Believing in him, everything in here from Genesis to Revelation, nothing else, nothing else. You know, during Hurricane Ian down in Florida, you've all seen the pictures and the videos, and I saw down on Fort Myers Beach, there were houses that were completely devastated, and there were other houses here and there spattered around like this that were intact completely. And they began looking at those houses. And the reason those houses weren't demolished by the storm is because they were built on cement pilings. They were built with concrete. The foundations were concrete. The pilings that the thing was up on, the stilts, was concrete. And the foundation was concrete. And the winds blew and the winds came and blew away all their neighbors. But yet those houses still remain intact today. And the lesson was obvious to me. There was a Bible story. There was a Bible study in that lesson when I saw that video and I saw those houses. I saw it with my own eyes. I didn't have time to bring it up here, and I didn't want to waste any more time. But you know what? Those houses that were founded upon the rock, and of course, we're talking about an earthly rock, concrete, but even more so, how firm is Jesus' foundation? The blood of Christ. And that's what we build our life on. That's what I want to build my life. That's what I've been building my life on. And God willing, God help me, I want to continue to build my life upon Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation. Amen? Amen? And I pray that you do too. I pray that you love him with all of your heart. Get to know him. Serve him. And don't be misled by anyone. Pastor, teacher, professor, no. Don't be misled by anybody. That's why it's so important. That's why we've been harping so long. Know the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. Know it. Read it daily. Study it. And I've been doing this for the last, 26 years, something like that. I got saved when I was 24. I had to do the math. 27 years. But, you know, I've been doing this, and I've been loving it, and I've been finding out who I really am, and I'm finding out who God really is and what he has done for me, and it's broken my heart. Because I realized I was worthy of hell. But he saved me, and now I'm heaven bound. I'm going to heaven. Are you going to heaven? Because you put your faith in him, that's your only ticket. By grace, through faith, and that not of works, lest any man should boast. Because we would if we could. Well, look what I've done. I've given $1 million to the church. And they've built this beautiful foundation. It's even got my name on the front. It's got a little plaque up front. And, you know, I didn't die yet, so I can't say immemorial of Rob Kellogg. Here stands the edifice that Rob Kellogg has donated to the church. No. Doesn't matter. Build your life upon Christ. Build it upon him. Jesus said in verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he will be likened to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and Hurricane Ian came and washed it all away. Now, it doesn't mean, just a qualifier here, I'm not saying that those people whose houses washed away, that they didn't, you know, many Christians lost their houses. But it's just the thought, the idea behind it. And unfortunately, because the codes now are so different now to withstand those hurricanes, and the ones who had those, followed those codes and were newer houses, and they built the things on concrete, on the rock, if you will, figuratively, they lasted, but the others didn't. That's all I'm saying about that. But great were the winds that blew and that beat on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And again, so important that us, that we take and put our trust and our faith, give your whole life over to Jesus. Build upon the rock. You'll never be disappointed. And if the worship team could come on up, we're going to take communion in just a few seconds here. But give your heart to Jesus. And what a wonderful way to end our morning together, by taking communion together. If you believe in Jesus Christ, that he died for your sin, and you've become a believer in Christ, then by all means, take communion. Because by taking these elements, you're basically testifying the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you don't believe in his death or his resurrection, then I would encourage you not to take communion, because you don't believe it. But if you do believe it, then take it. Because when we take that bread, we are acknowledging that his body that was broken for us. When we take the cup, we are acknowledging the blood that he shed on behalf of us, taking our penalty of our sin. He did all of that for me and you. And I am so glad to be called a Christian, a Christ one. And I pray that my life, because it's built on that foundation, I pray for myself and for all of you today, that we would do the same, and that our lives would be a wonderful reflection of Jesus Christ, who indwells us, whose spirit dwells inside. And if you're not born again this morning, I would encourage you, even in the quietness, as the worship team is worshiping, just simply do this. If you're not one of Christ, or maybe you're curious, just say, Lord, and we're not going to make a big spectacle, we're not going to embarrass you, but you do it in the privacy of your own thoughts and just say, Lord, I am a sinner. I know that I've sinned. And I know, Jesus, that you paid the price for my sin. Your blood on the cross. None else. No one else. No one has ever claimed to die for my sin but you. Because you're Almighty God in the flesh. That's what the Bible says, does it not? And therefore, I can trust in him. I can trust in him. So, as the worship team worships, when you're ready, just come on up and take the elements and bring it back to your chair, and we'll take it together, okay? Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, speaking to the Corinthians, he says in verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus came on the same night in which he was betrayed, and he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you.'" Notice, "Do this in remembrance of me." So let's do that. In verse 25 it goes on and it says, "In the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me.'" And he says, "For often as you drink of this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." And that's what we do. It's a symbolic thing of what Jesus has done. So let's go ahead and take the cup, acknowledging the blood of Christ. Praise the Lord. Lord, you are the King of glory, and Lord, we exalt your name this morning. We exalt your name, Lord, throughout the day and every day, as we live, Lord, may we exalt the name of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen.
That's the end of our study for today. But please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues in the Gospel of Matthew. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.